to be here and turn to the book of Job. And we appreciate the opportunity and I'm grateful tonight that the Lord touched me. And this October will be 53 years ago. And so we got saved as an 8-year-old boy in 1972. And we're grateful to be in the family of God. And my daddy used to say, I've been a sorry Christian from time to time, but I've never been sorry that I've been a Christian. Amen? And so I thank the Lord for that. And so I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And he is so wonderful. One thing that does happen to you, the older you get, the more you appreciate his mercy because you realize how that he's put up with you for all these years. Amen. Because at our best state, we're vanity, and at the best we do, we fail. And but he never fails, and that's a wonderful thing. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, Job chapter 16, and seeking the Lord's will for tonight. And I believe he led me to this passage of Scripture. And Job 16 and verse 19, I'm going to read just one verse to you there. The Bible said, "And now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." Basically, this verse is an answer that Job has given to his three friends, starting from chapter 2 to chapter 15. They've done nothing but disparage him, rebuke him, called him a liar. They've said a lot of things about him. And Job said, "You fellas can say what you want to." But he said, "My witness is in heaven and my record is on high." Matter of fact, you'll find there in chapter 4, you'll find that in verse 8, Eliphaz, here's what he said about Job. "They that plow in iniquity and sow in wickedness reap the same." Basically, he's saying, Job, you caused your sin or the judgment of God because of what you're doing, the sin you're in. And then you'll find in chapter 8 and verse 4, Bildad, he said that God basically cast away Job's children because of their sin. And then in chapter 11 and verse 3, Zophar, he called Job a liar. I want to take this thought tonight and I want to preach on this message. What is your record? What is your record? He said, "My record is in heaven." Can I say tonight, every one of us have a record in heaven. Now, let me say, first of all, in this life, there's a record of our birth. Unless you came from Mars, then there's a record somewhere that you was born in this world. Amen. And so there is a record of our birth. Can I say, number two, there's a record of our behavior. We have a driving record. And hopefully in here, no one's had a DUI in the last 100 years. Say amen right there. But anyway, I'd have to say I did get a ticket about 2 years ago. And it was the first one I had in 15 years. And it was from the famous city of Tryon right down the road. And I was coming through there, closed out a meeting, coming through there about maybe, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night. And I thought I was far enough out of the city, you know. And that fella pulled me over and he said, "Oh no, you got another mile and a half before it goes up to 55 miles an hour. And they sure enough gave me a ticket, cost me some money. Amen. But anyway, there is a driving record. Can I say there's a debt record? Now, the people of God ought to be the most who with character that pay their bills. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the people of God should have the most debt. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we ought to pay our bills better than anybody else because of who we are. Amen. And so there is a debt record. So there's a record of our birth. There's a record of our behavior. There's a record at the bank. And for most of us, it's how little we got instead of how much we got. Say amen right there. And then number four, there's a record of the bond of marriage. Now, I know we live in a society that says if you've been living together for 7 years, you are common law married. That isn't what God said. God said there's to be a marriage. Amen. And so, therefore, we're living in a day where even churches are letting that slide. Yes, they can come. Yes, we need to preach to them. Yes, we need to love on them. But they need to get right with God. Amen. If they're living together. So God help us tonight with our record. Let me say, first of all, I want to know, how is your record when it comes to salvation? Now, we know according to Luke chapter 20, or 10, and chapter 10 and verse 20, that the disciples had come to Jesus and they were excited because he gave them authority and they were casting out devils, and they came and said, "Master, man, you can't believe what we're casting out devils." And he said, "You're rejoicing about the wrong thing. You ought to rejoice that your name is written down in heaven." I want to know tonight, is there a record of your birth in heaven? Is your name written down? I'm glad, thank God, my name got written down in 1972. Thank God in October, I got birthed into the family of God. There's a record of my birth. Now, the place where it's at, he said it's in heaven. Now, my dad went to see my sister several years ago, and he opened his Bible, and Pastor, he acted like it was the book of life. And he read off his name and when he got saved, and read off my sister's name and when she got saved, and she, of course, was a single parent. And so he took the oldest boy, which is about 11, and he said, I wonder if he's in here. And he's looking through the pages of the Bible like it's the book of life. And then the second boy, his name was Jeremiah. I wonder if Jeremiah's in here. And he got to the third boy, Brandon. He's about 7 years old. And Brandon said, "Oh no, Grandpa, I know my name's not there." Can I say tonight, thank God his name is now, because he got born again. Amen. But your name better be there, not if you've been baptized, not if you belong to a Baptist church, but thank God that you repented of your sin, trusted the blood, and got birth into the family of God. I'm glad I don't lay awake at night and worry about where I'm going when I die. I've got that settled. I've got a name, thank God, written down in glory. Now, if you were to look that passage up in Luke, here's what the Bible said. You can go home tonight and look it up in your Strong's Concordance. Said that Jesus, when he told him that, rejoiced in his spirit. That word rejoice, you know what it means? It means Jesus jumped up and down. If Jesus can get excited about our name being there, how much more should we be excited that our name's written down? Thank God we'll never spend one night in the charred walls of the damned. That ought to make us rejoice tonight. Whatever's happening in our life, we're saved, saved, saved. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. We find the place of that record. Then we find the person we belong to. He said it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad God is our Heavenly Father tonight? Oh, listen. You know, this world's a mess. We had a little political revival in November, in the sense that we didn't get what we was going to get. Thank God for that. I believe enough God's people prayed and cried and sought his face, and he gave us a little space. But you know what we still need in America? We need a revival in the church. Amen. We still need a revival. And this world's a mess. And there's no promise of tomorrow. We don't know when the next time the stock market's going to crash and everything's going to burn to the ground. But I tell you what I do know, I have a Heavenly Father watching over me, and thank God I belong to him. He belongs to me, and it's going to be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's a record of my salvation. Is there a record of yours? You may say, "Well, Brother Barnes, man, I've been saved for 40 years. I can't remember when I got saved." Well, I'll be honest with you. In about a week and a half will be 39 years, I got married. And you know what? I'm still muchly married. And I couldn't tell you one word I said except I do, amen. I couldn't repeat those vows to you, but I can promise you I'm muchly married, amen. You may not remember what you said, and you may not remember the date, but you know if there's a God of heaven that lives inside of you. I know he lives with me inside of me. I talk to him every day, amen. I talk to him today. I'll talk to him again tonight. I'll talk to him in the morning. Thank God I've got a record of my birth. I wonder if you do. Amen. Number two, I want you to turn to the book of Philippians and chapter 4. And we find here in Philippians chapter 4, we find a record of our service. There's a record tonight of your service. You know, it's amazing when you go knock on a door. And Brother Camp, you invite people to come to church, and they'll say something like, "Well, I used to go, and God knows why I don't go now." Well, He really does. He knows why we don't go. He knows why we don't do. There is a record of that. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And Paul said, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Can I say, number one, there is a record of your labor, how sincere we are in the work of God. Now, the Bible calls this man true yoke fellow. He doesn't call his name. But everybody in the church of Philippi knew exactly who that was. That was somebody that was sincere in labor for the Lord and went always above and beyond. A lot of times it seems like the people of God do the least that we have to get by. That ought not to be that way. We ought to be sincere in our work for God, in our labor for God. Can I tell you, time's running out, and I'm telling you, we need to be more busy about the work of God than we ever have been. And so our labor is being recorded tonight. All that we've done, all that we can do, and all, and we'll see here in a minute, all that we have not done. So we see that he's sincere. Then we see, number two, they were striving together. Now, he talked about the women who helped him. Now, some writers, authors, they believe that these women might have been kin to the Apostle Paul. What a blessing to work with your family in the work of God. He talked about the women, but then he talked about the fellow laborers. You know what the world says sometimes? Well, that's Pastor Camp's church. Well, it's really God's church. Yes, you belong here. You're a member here. He's a member here. But what you're doing is laboring with him to build the kingdom of God. It isn't his church. It's God's church. He's the under shepherd that God put here. And therefore, you're to labor with him to build the work of God and strive together. You remember Nathan and Korah and Dion? And the Bible said that they withstood the man of God. They didn't stand with him, they withstood him. So you don't withstand the man of God, you stand with him. Amen? You labor with the man of God and do the work that God wants you to do, to labor. You know, sometimes we, let's be honest, we make excuses for the things we don't do. And that's being recorded tonight. What is your record? What is my record tonight? What is my record? What that is written down? Our labor. Can I say number two? Not only our labor is being recorded, but the lack of it. Back up to chapter 2 in Philippians with me, if you will. Let's look in verse 25. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. He said, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." Now here's what he said. "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Now listen now. "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." What about that? I do not want to get to heaven and the Lord say to me, "You know, your pastor almost died because you wouldn't help him." You see, I picture it this way, preacher, and I may be wrong, but I kind of picture maybe when old Epaphroditus went to see them at the church of Philippi, because he was their messenger. He would take supplies and take letters and to Paul. He would correspond for them to Paul. I kind of want to believe that maybe, because he was sick, he was so nigh unto death that if he lived in our day, the doctor would have said, call in the family. He's not going to make it. He's not going to get off the sick bed. But then God, boom, he touched him and he raised him up. I kind of want to think that Paul gave him this letter. And I believe that he took this letter to them because Brother Ronnie, they want to see him. I mean, they hadn't seen Epaphroditus last they knew the word they got. Now, that's way before cell phones and all that, you know. So it took a while to get the word. The last word they got, he's going to die at any moment. Here he comes. I want to think they're rejoicing. Man, they're hugging and crying and weeping and wiping their tears and saying, thank God he spared you. Hallelujah. And he probably said, oh, wait a minute, before I go, I got a letter for y'all. And they probably begin to open it up and read. And those smiles turn to frowns. Because Paul said, you know what? Yeah, he almost died because he worked himself to exhaustion because you wouldn't help him. Help me. See, there's a record tonight of what we do. There's a record that if there is a work day and we're physically able and we're not working on our job, and we're not out of town, that if we don't come, that gets recorded. We didn't come when we could have come. There's a record tonight that when we could have witnessed, we didn't witness. I've got blood on my hands. I got a 10-year-old boy. I was about 14. And I was raised in Ohio. And I remember my pastor lived down the street around the corner, and his son was my age, and so he played ball and whatever in the summertime. And I remember riding my bike down there. And preacher, the Lord said to me, tell that little boy about me. There's a boy who's about 10 years old standing on the corner because a corner store, and his mother worked, and she would be inside and he'd be outside playing around, had a big sidewalk, you know, and I didn't do it. Next day, the Lord said, tell that boy about me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. I'm only 14 years old. He said, just tell him what I did for you. You know, that'll work. And I didn't do it. And then he said the next day, tell that boy about me. About 2 weeks went by and I noticed he wasn't there. And so I said, where's that little fella at? And they said, oh, you didn't know. Last week he got hit by a car and he died. That boy's blood's on my hands. I was told by the Spirit of God to give him a witness. And I did not. Several years had passed. I was preaching a revival in Chesney, South Carolina. Got done one night, was going to the motel, stopped at a little service station, pick up a soda. And I had tracks in my pocket, and the Lord said, give her a track. And I looked behind me and saw them people, and I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to embarrass her. The truth is, we don't want to embarrass ourselves. And I got in the car, and we were going across the bridge, and motel was just right across the bridge to the left, and the Holy Ghost said to me, are you going to treat her like you did that little boy? I said, no, sir, I'm not. And I dropped my wife off, and I said, I will be right back. I've got to go back and give that woman a gospel tract. God, help us tonight. I don't want to have a lot of blood on my hand. There's a record that God is keeping for you and me about our service, our lack of it. How often do you pray before you come to church for the service? How often do you get up Sunday morning and get a hold of God and say, God, would you touch our pastor today? Would you bring in the sinners today? Would you bring in the visitors today? Dear God, would you come and dine with us? Would you anoint the man of God? Would you bless the singing? Would you have your part in every way? I tell you, I like it when he gets in the house. It makes all the difference in the world. He said in the book of Mark chapter 2, it was noised that he was in the house. I like it when he gets in the house. And I'll tell you, when he shows up more, when his people pray more and invite him in and beg him to come, he feels more freedom to visit amongst us. Amen. How often do we do that? How often do we pray and ask God to help the preacher? You see, there's a record of our labor. You know what James said, chapter 4? He said that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just like that smoke does, comes off, that steam off of that boiling water dissipates into the air. You know what I thought about? You know what dissipates out of our life is opportunities. We don't get them back. I let that opportunity go to witness to that boy. But I didn't let it go back and witness to that woman. Because I was not going to do the same thing, you see. Just a year ago, I was in North Carolina preaching revival. I'd went down to about a mile and a half to the dry cleaners, dropped off my shirts. And the Lord said, hey, witness to her. Tell her about me. And I didn't. I got back in the car and I got back to the church. The Holy Ghost said, I told you to go tell her about me. I said, yes, sir, you sure did. And I'm sorry I didn't listen the first time. I got right back in my car, turned around, drove all the way back. I know she probably thought I was nuts. And I said, I need to talk to you about Jesus. I said, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you. And you know what? God, help us not to pass up those opportunities because we may not get them again. Amen. There is a record of our service. Now, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. As the old country preacher said, the book of Malachi, amen? The book of Malachi. I heard a fellow say, now whether he said it or not, I don't know. But this fellow told me he knew a guy who said for the book of Levi, he called it Leviticus instead of Leviticus. But anyway, and so the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16. There is a record tonight of our sanctification. Not only of our service and not only of our salvation, but our sanctification. Let's look in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Number one, he said, for those who reverenced him, those who spoke often about him. Why is it so easy to talk about everything else but him? Brother Ronnie, he ought to be the easiest person to talk about. He's been so good to us. He's done so much for us. He's blessed us beyond measure. He gives us the breath in our body, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the car we drive. He ought to be the one that we could brag on anytime and anywhere. But a lot of time we'll talk about the weather and we'll talk about sports and we'll talk about hunting and everything else except him. And here's what he said. If you talk about me, I'm going to hear it and I'm going to write it down in a book of remembrance. What about that? Reverence those who fear him. I was in North Carolina preaching and I went to Walmart. Baptists got to go to Walmart. Amen. And I was going through and the lady was there checking, make sure I didn't steal anything. You know, we live in a wonderful country of America. And so she's looking at my ticket and everything. She said, how are you today, sir? I said, I'm doing wonderful. How are you? She said, oh, I like wonderful. I said, can I tell you why that I'm doing wonderful? She said, sure. I said, because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I know Jesus. And you know what she said? Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we just had a time right there at Walmart. You know what the Lord did? He wrote that down because we were talking about him. We made him the topic of our discussion. He's the one that we talked about. Not the weather, not anything else, but him. Amen. He said, I'll tell you what, there's a book of remembrance. He said, not only those who reverence me, but those who regard me. Now, that word and thought upon his name, that word means to weave, to fabricate, to intertwine, to plot, to value. Here's what he's saying. Whatever you and I do in our life, if we're concerned about what he thinks about it, he said, I'm going to put that in the book. Before you watch a show, you say, what if the Lord be pleased with that? He said, when you do that, he's going to say, write that down. Such, such day, concern, want to know how I felt about it. You know, we don't even think about that stuff anymore. I was preaching with a preacher one time, and he said this. He said, you know, before, years ago, he said, I'd sit down before I watched a ball game, and I'd say, Lord, Is it okay with you that I take the time? He said, I have to be honest. He said, I hadn't done that in a long time. I just watched the ball game. You see, what I'm saying is that he said, if you think upon my name, if you regard me, if you wonder if I'm pleased with what you're doing, he said, I'm going to put that down in the book of remembrance. That you thought about me. That you were concerned about what I was concerned about. That you desired what I desire. I'll be honest with you. I fell in that area. When I study that, Brother Camp, and I look at it, and I say, Lord, help me. I don't do that enough. I don't think about it enough. I just do what I normally do. And sometimes afterwards, I'm like, you know what? I didn't even think about that. God, help us to think about more of what he thinks about. My former pastor, Brother Andy Wells, his dad was Brother Larry Wells, pastored in Newport, 40 years. Said a woman got saved there. Now, I come from big city of Cleveland, Ohio, so I don't know. They called her a mountain woman. I don't know what that means. Now, I know what a mountain lion is, and I don't know if they're one and the same, but anyway, just kidding. But anyway, you can laugh, it's okay. And so, they said this mountain woman got saved. Said, here's what she'd do. She'd take her clothes out every morning. She'd lay them on the bed. She'd say, Lord, does that please you that I'd wear that? And you know what she'd say? That's so silly. He don't think so. He said, I'm going to write it down. And Brother Andy said, his dad told him that when anybody had a burden and they need somebody to help them pray through, she's the one they went to because they knew she had a walk with God. See, the more we are concerned about what he thinks about us, the more we'll try to live right. The more we'll try to be holy, not for self-righteousness' sake and to brag. If you brag on yourself, then you're a mess because we don't have nothing to brag about. Paul said, the only good thing about me is he who lives within me. Amen? There's nothing good about us. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, we preach not ourselves. There's nothing to preach about. I have nothing good to say about me. But oh, I've got a whole lot to say about him. Hallelujah. I could brag on him all night long. Amen? What a Savior we have. There is a record tonight of our sanctification. I've heard people say this when they get mad when the preacher preaches on sin. Well, ain't none of his business. I'll do what I want to do. Well, if you're saved, God's keeping a record of that. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. But if you're saved and that's your attitude sometime, just remember he's got a record of how you feel about his word and what he says. Number four, and lastly, there's a record of our supplication. Psalms chapter 56. There is a record tonight of how little you and I pray or how much you and I pray. Can I tell you that the church don't pray like they did when I was a boy? I can remember we used to pray more. I can remember in the late 70s, as a teenager, I could remember before we would leave church, Brother Ronnie, somebody in the congregation would raise their hand. And they'd say, Pastor, I've got a son that's away from God. He's lost. Could we gather around and pray for him? And we'd come and pray for him. And we'd do that week after week after week after week. And you know what? It wouldn't be 6 or 8 months down the road, that boy come in one service and get born again. Pray him into the family of God. We don't do that today. There's a record of how little, how much. Brother Clarence Stanfield, don't know if you ever knew Brother Clarence. He was a man of God, pastored in Kentucky. I heard him in 1998, and he made a statement that helped change my life. He said, you rush in and give God your little prayer list, and you rush out. And you never stay long enough for God to speak to you. And God tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hey boy, he's talking to you. You rush in and you rush out. He said, I want you to spend some time with me. our record is being recorded tonight of how little we stay before the altar, how quick we hurry up and give God our list and rush out, or how we're willing to stay there. I remember several years ago, I was at my home when I lived in South Carolina, and I was uneasy, I was unsettled. I just felt like something wasn't right between me and him. You know what I did? It was about midnight, and I said, Lord, I'm staying here all night long. I am not leaving until I know that all is well between me and thee. And I had to stay there about an hour and a half. But about that time, I'm telling you, there's a breeze that came from another world, because he knew I was sincere and I was willing to stay there all night long because I wanted nothing between my soul and my Savior. And when I felt the Holy Ghost and I wept and we talked a while, you know what I did? I went straight to bed and went to sleep and slept really good. But I was going to stay there all night long. When's the last time we really took some extra time and said, Lord, is my heart right with thee? Are you pleased with me? Am I doing my best? I know we all can pray more, but I'm afraid we pray so little today. You'll find in that chapter, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 56, in verse 5 and 6, David is praying for help with the enemy. He said, they're fighting me. They're swallowing me up. Our enemies are flesh and the foolishness of the world and the foe, the devil. Then in verse 3 and 4, he prayed for hope and escape. He said, I will trust in his person. I will trust in his precepts. But then in verse 8, he talked about his heart being in earnest. And he said, Lord, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? I wonder how small our bottle is that we shed tears for the souls of men. We shed tears for our Christian brothers and sisters. We shed tears for burdens of others. I wonder how small or how big our bottle is. He said, put them in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Just remember tonight when you pray that there's a record. I'm not so proud of mine. And I pray a certain lot of time every day for every message I preach. I did today. I spent that time today because I know that he has to do the work. We have got to pray. William Booth started the Salvation Army, I believe, in the 1860s. There in London. Two sisters named Mary and Kate Jackson. He had put them in a station. They weren't preachers, but they were witnesses and soul winners. And they sent him a telegram and said, we've been here for 2 years. We're discouraged. We've not seen anything happen. And we want you to put us at another station. He just sent back a telegram, two words, try tears. Try tears. And God broke their heart. They begin to get broken for the souls of men. And things begin to change. We're so busy today that we're not broken for our neighbors that's lost. For our family that's lost. I see sometimes people's children get saved and the mom and dad don't even get excited. And that blows my mind. I'd jump over a pew if I had children and they got born again. But we're living in that day that we're not broken. May God help us tonight to be broken. We're standing tonight. I'm asking you a question. What is your record? And I ask myself, what is my record tonight? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. I'm afraid when we all stand before him, we're going to wish we did more. I'll be honest with you, I've never met anybody on their deathbed has ever said, man, I think I've done too much. They all say, boy, I wish I'd have done a whole lot more. There'll be a day your race will be run. There'll be a day my race will be run. We won't be able to add no more labor. no more supplication. We'll not be able to clean up anymore. No more sanctification. What is our record tonight? Go ahead and sing whenever you're ready, my brother. Come talk to the Lord if you need to tonight, would you?